Yeah, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. First of all, it's a pleasure and a blessing to be here with you. I've heard of the wonderful work you're doing. I understand this is a meeting of the servants who are working on Koya, and bless USA, is that right? And I've heard lots of good things about both initiatives and both services and how everything's working. It's a blessing for the people who you are serving, and it's also a blessing for yourselves to be working. We're all servants in God's field. We're all servants in His family. And we all try to receive a little bit of blessing from serving His children. Now, I can talk to you about service, which is probably what you expect. But far be from me to do what anyone expects, because then it'll be boring. I don't know, at this stage, I think I'm going through something or other in my life and in my ministry, which tells me that before we can do anything, we have to go back to basics. It's wonderful to talk about services and various things, but I think going back to basics is what is important. And the basic fundamental of what we are doing at the moment, in service, in ministry, in God's love, in whatever we do, has as its prototype and as its documented manual our scriptures, the Bible. As servants, I think we run a great risk, and I am a servant like you are, and we all run that risk of running far too fast and far too long and forgetting that we need to be nourished at the same time. Sometimes service overtakes our lives. And please don't misunderstand, I'm not saying don't serve. Because I think, as I said at the beginning, you're doing a wonderful job. And you're doing God's work. But if we don't replenish ourselves, if we don't nourish ourselves, then we will never be able to serve to our full potential. And one of the things that is important for us in terms of nourishment is God's Word. Do we have a real relationship with the Scriptures? Do we have a real relationship with the Bible? Or is the Bible a book? Is the Bible a book we have on our shelves or even read every night? But do we have a relationship with God's Word rather than just reading God's Word? There are many different ways of reading scriptures. We can read systematically, just start from the beginning and end at the end. We can read academically, researching various things. We can read analytically, trying to look and analyze particular issues or particular topics or particular subjects. Or we can read contemplatively, just to contemplate on the meanings of what there is. But however we read, we not only read, we need to live. And one of the most important examples of us being directed to do this is the in the liturgy. In the liturgy, when we come to pray the gospel, read the gospel, have it announced to people, it's not just, okay, where's the book, let's open it and read. There's a huge pomp and ceremony around it. First of all, the priest will pray a litany of the gospel, and then a circuit will be done around the sanctuary. The deacon will hold the gospel up over his head, hold a cross, instructing people to stand in fear and trembling, stand in awe of listening to the gospel. The priest will hold the gospel over his head and announce that, you know, this is the word of our Lord God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And then you will have the gospel usually read from the highest place in the church, whether it be the episcopal throne or the pulpit. You will have deacons standing there with candles signifying the presence of angels. All of that to read a few passages. All of that to read a few words. One of the most moving things that happens throughout that whole system is the priest, when he prays during the litany, may we be worthy to hear and to act according to your holy gospel. Hearing is not enough. Reading is not enough. It is acting. It is living. It is being able to live that word. As servants, we can go very dry sometimes if we don't keep receiving the word that we have to live. Because how are we going to live it if we don't have it? How do we give something we don't have ourselves? The Gospel of St. John, chapter 5, verses 39 and 40. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. The Jews were looking at the scriptures as words. And our Lord said to them, you search the scriptures, you look for the scriptures of your fathers, because you think in the words you're going to have everlasting life. But he goes on, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. In our reading of the scriptures, in our seeing our Lord through the words of those scriptures, we both read them as words and we see him portrayed through them. We have an advantage over the Old Testament, though, because the Old Testament spoke of what was to come in terms of the promised Messiah. Whereas when we read our Gospels now, we look at our Lord and we see his life in those scriptures. Do we only look at scripture as words or as nourishment? Again, Matthew 4:4. And it occurs again in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The word of God is nourishment to us. It feeds us. When we physically, when we eat, we're able to act, because we become energetic. We have power, we have energy, we can move. In service, when we eat the word of God, we have the ability to serve. That word of God is transformed into energy. That energy is transformed into service. And we can use it. It's, I'm sure Sayyidina will agree with this. I think you can walk into Christian bookshops or counseling libraries and you will see lots of books on how to serve, how to deal with youth, how to deal with children, how to deal with adults, bereavement counseling, marriage counseling, youth counseling, all of these things. And sometimes we take our counseling, our service, academically. We take it as a science. And we forget that what needs to be done is that we need to live the word that we read. We don't need only to scientifically approach something. We need to look at how our Lord served. Some of the services here are involved with the needy. Our Lord served the needy. He fed thousands upon thousands. He comforted the mother who had lost her son and returned him to her. He comforted the sisters who had lost their brother. He healed the sick, transformed the lepers. He did many things. And that is the model that we're trying to follow. Not just as words, but as life. We have the role model there in front of us. We might think that it's hard work. It is really, it is hard work to be able to read and concentrate and live and focus and absorb. But we look at the scriptures in the wrong way. For in the scriptures, we shouldn't feel like we're working hard. If we feel we're working too hard, then we still have a little way to go. One man who understood, and who really knew what he was talking about, was David. David the prophet. Psalm 119, verse 103. How sweet your words are to my taste. Sweeter than honey to my mouth. The word of God is sweet. The word of God is sweet. And we can think sort of very poetically and simply of the word sweet. But let's look a little bit deeper. Let's carry the metaphor a little bit deeper. Okay. Honey does not only taste sweet, honey is also nourishing. It gives energy. It gives an ability to continue, to go ahead, to plod along, to work. The word of God is sweet because it pleases our mouths with its taste, but it gives us strength to go on, and especially in service. Because in service at times we will find times when we will need encouragement, we will need to be pushed forward, we will need to be comforted. Everything will go against us. And you think, God, why is this happening? I'm trying to do your work. I'm trying to do your will. I'm trying to serve your children. Why are you doing this to me? Why don't people just leave me alone? And we read the scriptures and we'll see how our Lord himself was treated. And you think, yeah. I haven't been ridiculed yet. I haven't been spat on yet. I haven't been crowned with thorns yet. I haven't been humiliated and been dragged through the streets carrying the cross of a thief yet. I haven't been nailed to the cross yet. I haven't been speared or given vinegar to drink. Things can't be so bad. And that word becomes honey and sweetness in my mouth and gives me the energy to go on. This is the word of God. This is living the word of God. This actually happened. All of these things happened. It's not fiction. Our Lord went through this. He lived it. We are his children. We bear our cross. It is significantly smaller, much lighter, much less humiliating and damning to carry. And we have his own hand that lifts us along. But we carry it. Don't underestimate the value of scripture. The book of Amos, chapter 8, verse 11. I don't know if any of you have come across this verse. It's very interesting to read. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. A famine of hearing the words of the Lord. We're going to be hungry for those words. Could you imagine if we didn't have this? We would want to be fed and have nowhere to go. We would want to be nourished and have nowhere to go. We would want to be inspired and have nowhere to go. And this is taken as a warning. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land. It's a warning. But how many of us, willingly, by choice, with our own free will, live that famine every day of our lives? We have the bread there. We have the nourishment there. We have the word there. But we live that famine. We starve ourselves. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Your word is sweeter than honey to our lips. But we starve ourselves. Because we look at this book as an imposition, as something we have to do. And so we become like the young child who will not be told what to do. Have you all got a younger brother, sister, niece, nephew who will be hungry? Be hungry, and they will want to eat, but because it is time to eat, and because his or her father or mother says you must eat, they won't. Does anyone experience that happening? We experience it in our own lives. How many times do we go home from a ministry and we're crushed, we're disappointed? Something's gone wrong and we don't understand why. We have the nourishment there, we starve ourselves. How many times do we go home confused, wondering what we should do? What next? How should I serve? Which way? We have the nourishment there, we starve ourselves. We live a famine. We don't need to, but we impose it upon ourselves. But the Word of God is not just nourishment, not just sustenance, not just sweetness, not just energy. The Word of God is also protection. You all know Ephesians 6:17. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. A sword is used for two things. What is it used for? Defense and attack. How many of us are placed in situations in our ministries, in our service, where we're asked to give an account and we don't know? We don't know. How many of us now are faced with questions on Islam or Judaism or Buddhism or Hinduism? New Age, Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah's Witnesses, and the list goes on. On and on. We have this sword. We just decide to leave it at home. So that I'm free game to anyone who wants to attack me. And I stand defenseless. Because I can't attack back with it. I have that word, that sword. It is strength, it is protection. It is a weapon in my hand. Admittedly, it's a two-edged weapon, which means that it helps you, but you also become accountable. But for the benefits, I don't mind being accountable. The word of God is strength. Along the same lines, Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. How many of us sometimes stand confused? And I don't mean, okay, this may work for some people, but it's not a systematic way of doing things. Let's see what God's going to tell me today. No, I don't like that one. Not that one either. Oh, that's a good one. Can I go and act on it? But the true knowledge of God is that two-edged sword that pierces even the most precise cuts. This verse, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, a discerner of thoughts and intents of heart. It means, quite simply, it can get into the tightest of areas, the most obscure angles, and it will still be that dividing line that shows us right from wrong, gives us discernment. That is the word of God as well. How much more do we want? You want nourishment? You want sweetness? You want energy? You want guidance? Do you want protection? Do you want an ability to attack? Do we want discernment? What about the last one? Psalm 118, verse 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. How many of us don't need a little bit of light ahead of us when we're moving? To enlighten our path. In service, there are lots of times we're going to be treading paths that aren't altogether lit. They're not absolutely clear. And the Word of God sheds light on them. Makes them clear for us. The Word of God is many things. And that's why I'm saying to you, back to basics. Yes, serve. Yes, work. Yes, organize. Yes, administer. Work day and night. Toil. Don't stop. But don't forget the basics. One of those basics is the scriptures. We are here to carry out the word of God. How can we carry it out if we don't know it? If we don't live it? If we don't taste it, if we don't absorb it, if we don't digest it, if we don't live it, if it doesn't become part of every atom of our beings, how do we then serve? Is it going to be something that is foreign to us? Something that we read and then we present? That's the first step. But it's not enough. We need to be as servants and as children of God. Because aside from the service point of view, in our own homes we are servants, to our families we are servants, to our friends we are servants. So this word can be applied to anybody in any situation. I need to be this book. Personified, incarnate, I become a gospel of flesh that people can see and they can be inspired by. They can see the word of God through my life and through my actions. This is the word of God. It is the life. The life that comes from every word. It is the sweetness that is in our mouths. It is the strength that is in our service. It is the protection. It is the weapon that is in our hands. It is the light that is before us. And it is the life of God that we breathe, we present to others, and we demonstrate every moment of every day of our lives. Thank you, Lord, for that.